if you're able, take your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to look at the first 10 verses of the chapter. The minister's list, starting in verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, in by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying, and, behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Father in heaven, we want to thank you this morning for the fact that your word tells us where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are in the midst with us. And so we know you are here today as we meet together and we look into your word. And Father, as we go through this message that you've given to me, I pray, Father, that you would give me the very words to preach this morning, that you would give me boldness to proclaim your word. And Father, I pray that you would get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise that's due your name. And I pray, Father, this morning, as I said earlier in the prayer, that we would not just be hearers of the word, but we'd be doers of the word. Father, I pray that I would get out of the way now and let you have your way with this message, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What kind of lists do you have? What kind of lists do you use? There's some people that write a list for everything, right? We have lists upon lists, right? We have lists, and then we have lists to tell us what's on the first list in case we lose the first list or the second list or the third. We have all kinds of lists. We have grocery lists. We have things to do lists, right? We have prayer lists. We have all kinds of lists. Well, here, God gives us a list for ministers. There's a list here for ministers. What is expected of us physically, mentally, and spiritually? He goes through this, and how should we behave and what we should do and what we should not do. There's all kinds of things in this list that he gives us. Now, before you get too excited about watching me go through these lists, I need to point out something from the very first verse of our text where God says that we are all ministers. Guess what? That means he's talking to you this morning. See, people see the name minister and they automatically attach that to pastor or preacher or somebody that's standing in the pulpit, right? But God says we are all ministers. And so this message this morning is for every one of us. This message is for you. In verse 1, he says, when then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. You'll notice in the Bible that with him is italicized. There's a reason for that. The italicized words are what the interpreters had put in there to help explain it for us, right? They are not part of the original text. They were added in there in italics form so that we would know that they weren't the original, but they were added to make more clarity of what's being said. And so There's some people that know if it's written in the Bible, it's from the original, right? And they'll go right down to the bottom where all these notes are, and they'll go, man, this is all the Word of God. Do you know those notes are not the Word of God? It's man took those and put those notes down there. But the Word of God is the Word of God, and when you come across those italicized words, those were added to clarify for us what's being said. People go, well, no, that's not true. Yes, that's exactly why they're in there. They've been supplied by those translators. So here it should be, we then as workers together, there's a line that needs to be rubbed out between those who are sitting in the pews and those who are standing in the pulpit. Unfortunately, we have this line drawn and we say, he's one person and we are another, right? That's not the way God looks at us. It's not the way it is. But that's what we think. There ought not to be a distinction between the pulpit and the pew today. We are all workers together. You sit in the pew, you may say that you're not responsible for getting out the gospel. It's not what God says. I'm not the one that's responsible. It's the guy standing in the pew, the pulpit, that's the responsible one. He's supposed to be getting the gospel out, right? But that's not what God's telling us here. Every one of us has a responsibility, right? Sometimes we think that we don't, but each one of us does. And I don't care if you're a business owner. I don't care if you're a housewife. I don't care if you're a student. I don't care who you are. As a child of God, you are a minister of the Word of God. It's your job to get the gospel out just as much as it is mine. Now I'm going to go through this, and we're going to see some of the responsibility here that I have, but there's been a saying out there that shepherds do not produce sheep. Sheep produce sheep. When David was out there herding the sheep and all, David wasn't producing those sheep, was he? But the sheep were producing sheep. See, because that's what sheep do. Sheep produce sheep. Shepherds watch over and take care of. Many people think it's the business of the evangelist or the preacher to win people to Christ. But I'm going to tell you today that if you're a child of God, it's your business to lead people to Christ. It's what the Word of God teaches. God has given teachers and preachers and evangelists and missionaries and all that to prepare the body of believers to go out, not just sit in the pew, but to go out and produce more sheep. Interesting, huh? Can't tell you how many times I've heard, and prior to becoming a pastor, it's the pastor's job. Do you know, if people listened to the congregations and churches, everything that ever happened around the Word of God would be the pastor's job. I've heard people actually come up and say, well, that's what we pay him for. They have a misconception of what's going on, for sure. Very clear, the shepherd does not produce sheep. The shepherd equips the saints to go out and produce more saints, right? That's what it's about. It's my job to equip you, to prepare you, to go out so that you can. The shepherd cannot produce sheep. Not what the shepherd does. Now, I will tell you that I myself am a sheep. And so I have to lead by example. So what are we doing today to get the Word of God out to others? What are we doing? Pretty simple, some ways that we can get the gospel message out. There's some that say, well, I can't do anything. I can't do anything to get the gospel out. Well, how about if you understand that there's people you know that trust you and might confide in you that would never talk to me? Especially when they find out I'm a pastor. There's some people that automatically, oh, I'm not talking to him. That's what happens. But you, there will be people that will talk to you. They will listen to you. Where they won't listen to the preacher unless you encourage them to listen. Some people here may not feel that they can talk to someone directly one-on-one. And maybe you can't. Maybe you feel there's nothing else you can do. You can invite them to come and listen. You can invite them to go to our website where the messages are posted on there and they can hear the audio version of what's being done here. You can do those things. You may not feel comfortable talking to them, but you can lead them to the site or you can lead them to church where they can come and hear the preacher preach the Word of God. You can hand out tracts. You can mail them to people. There's all kinds of ways to get the gospel out to people if you can't sit down one-on-one with them because you're feeling like you're not adequate enough to do that. And if that's the case, let me just say, pray. Ask God to give you the ability to do that. That's what He's saved us for, is to go out and share the gospel with others. Paul says, we beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. So how does one receive the grace of God in vain? Well, God's been showering His goodness and His mercy on us, right? People go, well, where have you been the last couple years where everybody's locked up and nobody can do anything, and is that mercy and grace? Are you still here? Has God still provided you through all this? I don't know about you, but, you know, prices of everything is going up and God's still taking care of us. Anybody show up this morning and they haven't had a meal in the last week? I say that because some skip breakfast on purpose. Didn't want to say just breakfast this morning. Some will say, well, yeah, I did. But God has taken care of us and He continues to take care of us. He has mercy and He showers this on us. But to receive His great goodness and rejoice in the salvation of grace of God and to live a carnal life means that we're receiving the grace of God in vain. God has given us His mercy and His grace and all this goodness and all these things that He showers upon us, the blessings that He gives us, then we go out and live a carnal life. In verse 2 of our text, it says, for He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Have I succored thee? Which means, I have helped thee. I have helped thee. Many people say, well, I won't accept Christ today. Okay? I'll do it some other time. Well, the Word of God tells us today is the day. Don't postpone it because you don't know you've got tomorrow. There's some people that every morning they get up and they open the newspaper and they read the obituaries, right? Some of them will actually tell you they do it to see if they're in there. We know that's not true, right? But people will do that. There's people that died not waking up that morning saying, today is going to be my last day here. Not many people go and lay down at night and say, I'm not getting up in the morning. Not because I refuse to get out of bed, but because I won't be able to, right? I get it that there's people that go to bed and say, I'm not getting up tomorrow because they don't want to. But there's some that they went to bed and they didn't say, you know, I'm going to die this evening. They had no idea. We have no idea. But God says now is the accepted time. If you've got a watch, you might look at it and say, what time is it right now? Because right now is the accepted time. You say, well, a few seconds have passed since you said that. Right now is the accepted time. While you still have breath, right now is the accepted time. Doesn't matter what time it is, it's right now is that accepted time. Well, can I accept him tomorrow? Possibly. Do you want to take that chance? Just saying. The important thing about all that is God says right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. Now. The following passage is for all the ministers present. Here's a test this morning. We'll see who passes. Everyone in this room that is a minister, raise your hand. Hands should be going up everywhere, right? Because I already told you, the Bible tells us that we're all ministers. So they should be going up everywhere. Verse 3 goes on to say, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. We need to be very careful about our personal behavior. Do you know, I've said over and over and over that Christians give Christians a bad name. And the reason I say that is because people live a carnal life and then they go out and try and browbeat someone to death till they accept Christ as Savior. And they look at that person and they go, why do I want what they have? They're living a miserable life. Why do I want that? And why would you? I mean, if somebody walked around, one of my favorite lines, like somebody stole their birthday all the time, why would somebody think that that's something they want? But if we walk around joyful and expressing how great things are, even when things are going bad, right? Because they could be worse. See, the difference between looking at a glass half empty or half full, the glass is still the same, right? But half full, it's like, wow, got half a glass. Half empty, it's like, oh, it's almost gone. How do we look at it? And so we need to be excited. We need to be joyful. We need to be happy in our Christian walk so others will want what we have. We go around looking like what we have isn't worth having. Why would anybody want it? You know? I mean, I could come up here and give you this beautiful wrapped package up here and say, everything in here is vile and disgusting. And everybody would just walk out and not. Or I could come up here and say, this box is full of silver and gold. And everybody would be up here trying to get it. It's the perspective of what's there, right? Well, there's a perspective when you're rocking around like Christianity is the worst plague on the face of the planet, or it's the best thing that ever happened to you. How do people perceive your Christian walk? As something they want, or as something that's worse than the plague? It's how we go about what we're doing and how we're portraying our Christian walk. So we need to be careful. Now, I don't think anyone can serve in a church today and not hurt somebody's feelings. I just don't think it's possible because somebody's feelings are going to get hurt somewhere along the line. It's just going to happen. There are some that they have nothing better to do than to go around and look for somebody to hurt their feelings, right? They're just people that are that way. So you're never going to have everybody that's happy. It's just not going to happen. But that should not be the attitude of the person who is a child of God. You heard the old saying about carrying your feelings on your sleeve? Well, I have to tell you, there are some children of God who do that. I like this. Dr. Harry Ironside put it something like this. If you do not shake hands with them, they feel you intended to slight them. If you do shake hands with them, you hurt their arthritis. If you stop to speak with them, you are interrupting them. But if you do not, you are a little snooty. If you write them a letter, they know you are after their money. If you do not write, then you are neglecting them. If you stop to visit them, you hinder them from the work that they're trying to do and you bother them. But if you don't visit them, it shows you have no interest in them. Dr. Ironside hit the nail on the head, didn't he? The Bible says, giving no offense. You're supposed to live in such a way that no one can say, because of your life, I have no confidence whatsoever in the salvation that you profess. Can you imagine that? Having no confidence in the salvation that you profess because of the way you live. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that actually turning people away from God instead of turning them to God because of the way you live? I know it's hard to believe, but it does happen. It does happen. So Paul lists some things here that should characterize the ministry. And they are quite interesting here. In verse 4 of our text, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. It's interesting that he starts with, in much patience. I'm thinking it's because he knows that we are not patient people, right? So he starts with the very first thing. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have trouble with this. And if we're all honest, we all do. We all have trouble with this. Patience is something that is lacking. It's just lacking. Then he goes on to in afflictions. And this is something that many in the ministry today still have to bear. Afflictions. In necessities. People who came through the Depression, they definitely understand this. People that were brought up in a poor home understand this. In afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, there are many living today that have no idea what these are. And then there's others that have a great understanding of these, and there's the generation gap, right? In 2 Corinthians 6:5, it says, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. In stripes. I have a notion that very few of us know anything about stripes, especially like Paul knew them, right? Paul knew them. Stripes consisted of 39 blows with a rod, because they said 40 would kill a person. So when Paul talked about it, it was 40 save one, right? 39. However, some of us have been cut across the face by someone with an insulting mark made by some pious saint with a holier-than-thou attitude. Some of us know that. We need to be careful. how we treat one another. There were some of us that literally had stripes, right? But I'll tell you, those were biblical. Some of us will get that later, maybe. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Paul lists other things that he experienced in the ministry also, which I have to say few men today have had to pass through. Imprisonments, tumults, labors, watchings, fastings. All of these were familiar to Paul. Now he gives us another set of identifications for the ministries in verses 6 and 7. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Pureness. It's important that a minister live a pure life. Now let's go back to earlier. What did I say? Every child of God is a minister. So therefore, every child of God should be pure in his life. Lack of purity in the ministry is one thing that hits the ministry very hard. People look at this lack, and it's always a tragedy when some minister turns up to be something that they don't profess to be, but they turn up to be. Guilty of immorality or guilty of impurity. Pureness is important. It's important to God. By knowledge. I don't think knowledge here refers only to knowledge of the Word of God, but I think it refers to knowledge of things that are going on in the world. Knowledge of all things. We can't just be in the Word, but we've got to know what's going on around us also. Kind of hard to minister to people if you don't know what they're going through, right? If all you do is spend time here, when are you going to have time to minister to others? We got to know about what's going on around us as well. A minister of the Word should know a great many things and keep himself abreast of the times in which he lives. Long-suffering. Here comes it up again. Long-suffering is patience in a different package, right? Kindness. Wow. People long to have a pastor who is tender and kindly interested in their lives, right? By the Holy Ghost, God have mercy on any preacher who tries to preach without the Holy Spirit leading and directing. I can't imagine what people do. Getting in the pulpit and trying to do it of your own? Fall flat on your face. The message won't go any further than the end of the pulpit, probably. But you got the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit behind you, and He just takes over, and things happen. Things change. Thank God for the Holy Spirit when it comes to preaching the Word of God. Let me just say that's one of the things I'm mostly concerned about. Is that the Holy Spirit is behind the messages that come from the pulpit and not the man. Then he says, by love unfeigned. Genuine love is so desperately needed today. Desperately needed today. We don't need pretenders out there. What we need is people who truly love people. We don't need phony professors of the faith who tell you how much they love you and then put a knife in your back. We don't need that. There's plenty of that going on. We don't need that. We need real, genuine love. We need the love that the Spirit of God puts into our hearts. That's what we need. Then by the word of truth. The word of truth means that a preacher should know his Bible. He should know the Bible and he should preach the Bible. And he should do it by the power of God. And that's only going to be possible if the preacher is spending time with God. Alone time with God. And we need that before we step into the pulpit and preach the messages of God. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left is right living in all areas. Then Paul gives us a set of 9 paradoxes which should characterize a minister of God in verses 8 through 10. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Kind of doesn't make sense, does it? As you just read it and take it at face value. By honor and dishonor, some may approve and some may disapprove. This gives us a well-balanced ministry, right? Some people will approve the messages that you preach and some won't. Some will like the delivery of the message and some won't. It's the way it is. It's what happens. By evil report and good report, some people will say ugly things about you. And other people will say flattering things about you, right? By the way, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's the criticism which harms us less than the flattery. People go, well, how can that be? It's because people will tell you all kinds of nice things about you right before they take a knife and stab you in the back. I'm just saying, that's the way it works. As deceivers and yet true. We are called deceivers, and yet we preach the Word of God. How can we be deceiving anybody when we're preaching the truth? But that's what we're known as. As unknown and yet well known. Minister of God may not be well known in this world, but he's very well known to God. As dying, and behold, we live. Paul was taken to the place of death, right? They tried to kill him several times. Had all kinds of things, and yet he had new life in Christ. Chastened and not killed. Paul often experienced persecution, beatings, whippings, stonings, and yet he lived on. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Sorrow was for the sins of the people and their rejection of the gospel. He was very sorrowful about those things, yet he was rejoicing in Christ Jesus. As poor, yet making many rich. Whenever you find a minister who is rich, watch out. Watch out. It's amazing. I see all these guys with all their jet planes and their yachts and their houses all over the world and everything, and I think, you call yourself a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Seriously? Amazing, isn't it? We are not supposed to get rich in the ministry. Not what it's about. That's not what God says. Now, God does bless, right? And He does let us have nice things. And that's okay. But let me just say, as God blesses His ministers, He gives us more so that we can give more. That's what it's about. As a minister of Jesus Christ, we have to make sure that our treasure truly is in heaven. And then having nothing and yet possessing all things. Paul had said in his first letter to the Corinthians that all things were theirs. All things were theirs. This includes things in the world, life, death, present, or future. You just turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verses 22 and 23. It says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or of the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours and ye are Christ's and Christ is God's. Now, Paul has given us in our text three sets of things which characterize the ministry. He showed us things that pertain to things that are physical. The second, things to things that are mental. And the third, things that are spiritual. And all of these are important. There's none of them on these lists that are unimportant. They're all important. So, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, how do we line up with this list? I can tell you, for one, patience is something I still need to work on. There's one just up, and that was the first one. Of the three lists, it was on the first list, and it was the first one. I'm just being honest. Patience is not a strong suit. It should be. I'm working on it. God's working on it with me. He's trying to get me to that point. And every time you think you've conquered it, wait till somebody cuts you off in traffic, right? It's just one of those things. How patient are we? One of those things we need to do is not tell people how dumb they are, how crazy they are, how ignorant they are, and then turn around and say, oh, by the way, we have church service on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. is Sunday school, 11 is worship service, why don't you come with me? Do you think you're going to win them to the Lord? Probably not. We have to be careful how we live our lives. Because as soon as people know you're a child of God, they're watching. They want to know. Do you line up with these lists? And they may not know these exact lists that Paul's laid out for us. But they know enough about how we're supposed to be living. So just remember, people are watching. And they know. And even if they weren't, someone is watching that's very concerned about how we live our lives. Mentioned this morning already, Almighty God is watching, and He's very concerned about how His children are living and representing the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth. Let's take time this morning, as God's going to allot it to us here in a few moments. And let's examine ourselves. Let's make sure that we're lining up with this list. If we're not, let's be praying that God will help us work on the areas where we're weak. And strengthen those areas. So that we can be what I like to call a walking billboard for Jesus Christ. So other people will want what we have. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning we are so very thankful for your word. Father, we're thankful for the plainness of it, how we can read through it and know these things that you have for our lives, that you want from us, that you want us to have this joy unspeakable and full of glory, that others would want what we have. And I pray, Father, that we, as your children, would match up with this list, that our lives would be like this list that you've given us here. But Father, in the areas that we're not, we need to pray about those, that you would help us and strengthen us and encourage us to do better. Father, this morning, if there's someone in our midst that's not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, your word has told us clearly in this text that we use today, for today is the accepted time. Now, not later, not tomorrow, not next week, but today, this very time, is the accepted time. So I pray, Father, if there's someone in our midst that doesn't know Christ, that today would be the day. So, Father, we're going to let you have this invitation time. We'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.